When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
You are very welcome to the Ireland's Birth Stories podcast. My name is Cora Gernon. I created this space for women to share all of the details surrounding their pregnancy, labour, birth and everything in between, without feeling shy about the detail. Sit back and enjoy over 100 hours of birth stories told by you, the listeners. Hello there. I hope you're all well and have had a really good week. I'm in Portugal with my family and we're having the best time. So we're going home on Friday and I'm already planning our next holiday. So I'm going to try go away for the Easter midterm if I can and make more of an effort to go away more. Now that they're a little bit older, it's way easier than I thought it would be. The first few days were a little bit difficult and I'm not going to lie, I did consider coming home early because I'm that dramatic, but it's worked out really well and I'm really glad that we made the effort to come away. It's the first time coming away since our honeymoon, so I think I was nervous about how different it would be, but it's been amazing. Anyway, to chat about this week's episode, I'm sharing Erin's birth story. She talks me through her one pregnancy and the birth of her little man, George. So Erin's story is a very honest one. She shares that her pregnancy was unplanned, and everything that comes with that. So she had just recently changed a job and they had just moved into a house share as well with plans to get their own place in 18 months. So it was definitely a shock. She shares how she felt telling her family and their responses too, which I think were really nice. She also is an anxious person. So she did avail of the mental health services that the maternity hospital offered. And she spoke to someone weekly who she speaks of really fondly. And that person really helped her through her pregnancy. And she gave her some really nice coping mechanisms that she actually used throughout George's birth as well. So that's really nice to hear that she took so much from that and benefited so much from it. She talks about his birth and she got an epidural. She didn't opt for one. I'll let Erin kind of explain. She also had a vaginal birth and then went on to share her breastfeeding story too. But the parts of Erin's story are that I really love are the people who made her experience that little bit easier, because she was told throughout her pregnancy that George was measuring really small. At one stage it was mentioned that he's under 5 pounds and he was actually born 8'8". So he was a lovely, healthy big boy. But throughout her entire pregnancy, she was just so nervous that he was small because that's what she was told, which only added to her already anxious state. So I also wanted to mention that I'm going to speak to Erin, is currently pregnant with her second baby, and she's coming up to her 20-week scan now, so her big scan, as we all call it. So I'm going to speak to Erin every month and then I'll share our conversation as a bonus episode. But I think it'll be really nice to, you'll already know Erin from her birth story with George, and it would be nice to see she has mentioned in her birth story that there's a few things that she would change. So she feels like she would have more of a voice this time round that she didn't feel like she had the first time round. So it'd be nice to see how she prepares for this birth in comparison to her first, although she did a lot of preparation for George's birth as well. But we'll follow her throughout her experience. And then after her second baby comes, we'll chat about that birth story too. So this is something that I really want to do long term. I think it would be nice to follow someone's story so closely and really get to know them as well. So I will let you listen to Erin's birth story and I will chat to you next week with a brand new episode. Erin, you are very welcome to the Ireland's Birth Stories podcast. Thank you for your patience. We're trying to have this chat for a long time.
Yes, thank you for having me. I'm a bit fangirly.
So let's get stuck into your first story. So do you want to talk about your first pregnancy?
Yeah, okay. So it's me and my partner, Jamie, and it wasn't planned. We just moved out. We were in shared accommodation and we just moved into, our plan was to move into this like house share with like just a random stranger. He was an older man. And we were just going to, it was like cheap rent. It was a room and we were going to work, save, be there for maybe like a year and a half max, and then just have like a deposit there and stuff like that to just like get our own place. And while we were there, I think less than a week, the same week we moved out, I also was starting a new job where I was becoming a duty manager. So it was like a big shift. I was going from working in South Dublin over to Tala. So it was like quite a trek as well for me. But I was like, I'm a super able-bodied person. This is going to be okay. And then a week into the new job and a week into living there, I found out I was pregnant. So that was a bit of a a shock. And it's funny because my partner, he came home from work and he said, oh my God, you won't believe it. My brother rang me and he's having a baby. She's 3 months along. And I was like, really? Like the exact same day. I was actually waiting for him to come home and I was like, okay. And I was like, he was like, what? And I was like, you are too. I was like, I'm pregnant. And he was like, what? Like, it was a bit of a shock, but we weren't exactly, like, I wasn't on birth control or anything. We most definitely weren't trying for a baby. Like, we were together, I think it was 2.5 years at that stage. So that kind of like threw a spanner in the works a little bit for us kind of going forward. And then COVID hit like 2 weeks later and it was lockdown. So that was my like first little bit. So we couldn't see anyone anyway. So it was pretty easy to like keep it to ourselves. Yeah, you have like the 12-week deadline where it's like you don't tell anyone until you hit 12 weeks. And this was like drilled into me. I was like, okay, like I can't tell anyone because something might happen or whatever else. So we kept it to, I think it was until I was like 8 weeks, and his mom kept dropping us up stuff like bottles or like, oh, does Aaron drink Prosecco? I have a bottle of Prosecco there. And I was like, we can't keep taking things off that we can't use, because during lockdown as well, everyone was just like, oh, like, you know, Zoom like bingo nights and like quiz nights and doing all this sort of stuff, and everyone was having a few drinks, and I was just kept like coming up with excuses. My morning sickness was like not too bad, but like my like smells, it's the same this time as well, smells just kill me. And even talking about, like, if I talk about certain smells, I'm like, oh God. But yeah, we told anyway his mom, and like she was delighted, she was like surprised, she was the first person we told. So eventually then we told everyone. My mom and my dad live in Galway, so I wasn't able, I was trying to see how COVID would play out to try and go down and tell them in person, because I didn't want to like ring them. And to be honest, I was kind of afraid, because like I was 23, I'm 25 now, and I was 23, I was going to be 24 when I had him, which is not really, really young or anything, but like I was just like super nervous about telling them. And I was putting it off. And then like one day I was just like, girl, I'll just ring my mom and kind of like see what mood she's in. And like my older sister has two kids and she had her first baby when she was the same age as me, actually. Like, it wouldn't have been a big deal, but I just kind of had worked it up in my head that like, oh, this is going to just be, you know, a disaster. I suppose, I don't know, I just didn't want to like disappoint them, I suppose, or something. And I rang her and was like talking to her for like 10 minutes and was just like letting her tell me about her day and like how she was and what was going on. She was like, oh, so like, what's going on? I was like, oh, I have something to tell you. And she was like, okay. And I was like, I don't want you to be mad at me. And she was like, what? And I literally just burst into tears and through like sobbing, like told her. And she was like, okay. And she was like, well, what do you want to do? And I was like, what type of, I was like, I'm having a baby. Like, and she was like, no, Erin, like, I don't mean it like that. She was like, look, like, whatever, you know, like, it's all fine. She was like, why are you so obsessed? I was like, I don't know. It just kind of like, I think I'd built it up so much in my head that when she was nice about it, I was just like, it was like an overflow.
Yeah, yeah.
And then she was like, oh no, she was like, this is like great news. And she was like really, really happy about it. And then she was like, do you want me to tell Dad? And I was like, yeah.
Yes.
I was like, I can't. She was like, I don't think you'll be able to ring him. I was like, no. So she told him, and then like he was as well, like he just texted me being like, oh, like absolutely great news, like mind yourself, like it was fine.
And how did you feel then? Did you feel it was a big weight off your shoulders then?
Oh yeah, I felt like I could be excited about it then as well, because like even like my mom was like, look, because I told my grandmother before that, I wrote her a letter. I'm so melodramatic, like, but I wrote her a letter because with COVID I'd always see her, and she lives in Dublin, and I hadn't had a chance to see her, and I wanted to tell her in person, but I was like, look, I'm just gonna, like, I couldn't hold it in, I need to tell somebody. So I sent her a letter, and she just sent me a letter back. She didn't even text me or anything. She just sent me a letter back like a few days later being like, you know, this is great news, and like, you always wanted to be a mom, and was like, this is, you know, it may be sooner than you thought, but like, this is really good. And then at the end she said, tell your mom. Like straight away. So she as well was like, tell your mom, like it's not gonna be a big deal.
But it sounds like they got it, they understood like your nerves and your apprehension in telling them.
Yeah, and as well, I think it was just, yeah, I don't know what it was. I think I just felt like everything was a bit, because I just started the new job as well, and we just moved. Like, we had a plan of what the next like year and a half was going to be. And then it was just like straight away, there was just kind of like a worry about like, okay, like, well, where are we going to live? Because we're going to have to sort this within 9 months, because like, we can't live here. Well, we could, but I was like, you know, like, we can't really, we need like more room and more space, blah blah blah. And you know, like, that's not what the person that we were living with signed up for either. So it was kind of just, it was very like, everything was kind of in the unknown at that point. And then I had my first scan, I'm pretty sure I had my first scan in Holles Street. I went to Holles Street straight away just because that's where I was born and where my partner was born. So I was like, I didn't really think about it too much, you know, and I kind of just went very much with the flow. Like, I rang my doctor as well, and she was just like, yeah, like, just like emailed the Holles Street. Like, she was like, I think as well, she got my anxiety about it, and she was like, yeah, it's just like register like online, there's like nothing, no big deal. And I was like, all right, okay. And I just got a letter in the post, went in, and my partner couldn't come with me for any thing at that point, because it was like the first lockdown, so it was really, really strict, and there was a lot of like anti-mask. I got stopped outside one of my appointments outside Holles Street by anti-maskers, and they said to me, you know, you're damaging your baby by wearing you're like she was like, you're limiting the oxygen you're giving to your baby. And I was like, I'm just doing what the hospital is telling me. Like, I was just like, I don't think there's like any research to back that up. And I was kind of like a bit, you know, when you walk away from somewhere and you're like, I should have stood up for myself or something. I was just a bit like taken aback. I was like, okay. And I just kept walking, and then I was like halfway down to Stephen's Green, and I was like, the cheek. I was like so annoyed like afterwards. But I got At this point, I went in for my first appointment, and right then and there, they referred me to the mental health clinic. So I, from like the very first scan, they kind of referred me, and they just said, like, I struggled a lot with kind of anxiety in the past, like since I was very young, and up until, say, like I was pregnant in the March of 2020, and I had been on like anti-anxiety and stuff up until the September before that, and then I'd kind of like weaned off them, and I had been good up until that point. So I was like, I don't think I really need it. But they were like, look, like there's no harm in you, just like she'll just give you a call. So I was like, okay, yeah, like I may as well avail of everything, kind of. So I was like, yeah, grand. And she rang me, I think it was like after my first scan, and she was godsend. I have to give her a shout out. So she rang me, and we had like, it was nearly 2 hours of like a consultation. She was like, okay, I think that you should come in weekly and chat to me. So I was like, kind of like, all right, like, you know, like I didn't think I really needed it that much, but I was like, it is nice to like talk to someone, because I hadn't
been doing any
counseling up until then or anything. So I was like, yeah. And I was, in fairness, like I was in the height of it quite a bit. My blood pressure kept coming up high. My first, second and third appointments were, my blood pressure was high, and they were like, oh, will we put you on tablets, will we not? And I think it was literally just environmental. Like it was literally, I was stressed in my new job. There was like a 2 hour travel in the morning and in the evening. So like my 9 hour shift was like a 12 hour day nearly. Like it was really, really long.
And do you think that travel time as well probably gave you so much time to think and kind of feed your own anxiety? Because I'm quite an anxious. Yeah.
And just stare off and just like have my earphones in. And like I'd just work myself up like all the time. Or like I'd be fine. I'd be so preoccupied while I'd be in work. And then I'd be on my way home. And by the time I get back to my house, I'd be bawling. And like, excuse me, the amount of times I come in and like I'd just be a wreck. And he, like my partner was like, what is, like, is everything okay? And I would literally be like snotting everywhere. And she was like super hormonal as well, obviously, but I'd just be like, I don't even know. So, you know, like sometimes it was just, I was very emotional. So I was glad that I had kind of like Aoife to link in with, like it was good. And then we had like kind of, there was a lot of ups and downs, as in like there was like I was doing really well, and then I'd kind of just like go in like dips, ups and dips, where like I'd all of a sudden, like everything, I'd just be like, oh my God, like what are we going to do though? You know, all just kind of like snowball. And then like I'd write everything down. I'd be like, okay, I need to apply for this form, and I need to do this, and I need to do this. And then I'd feel it'll like plateau a bit, and I'd be like, okay, like I have things kind of under control. And then it'll just kind of like build up again, and then I'd have a meltdown again where I'd be like, oh, this is just going to be a disaster, and I'm worried. And I think it was just, I don't know, I think it was just like, I can't remember what she called it, but it was like very, I didn't go on tablets for the whole, for my pregnancy. And my son was born in the November, but then once I went into the new year, I was put on quite strong tablets after that. So, sorry, I'm jumping ahead a little bit, but at the time in my pregnancy, I was kind of just having like the weekly counseling, which was like an hour with her after my weekly scans, which is a whole other thing. Because my high blood pressure, they were checking me more regularly, and then they were saying that he was measuring small from the 20-week scan. He was completely in proportion, but he was small for his weeks, kind of. And this continued I went in for weekly scans like nearly every single week from 20 weeks. So I was in, like, I liked it because I got to see him all the time. But like it was quite a trek to get like buses. Like I don't drive. It was like public transport in and out. during COVID as well. So I was like really conscious. I think that had a huge effect as well. Like I remember being told like it was like really dangerous for pregnant women to get COVID at the start because they didn't know. And then it was like, oh, it's not.
Yeah.
It's no more dangerous to pregnant women than anyone else. And then it went back to being like, babies are being born, stillborn. And it was like, there was just so much back and forth and like the placenta stuff and all. It was just like really, really scary. So that as well just didn't help. Like I was like, my hands were raw from like scaly from like sanitizing and washing them. And like I wore masks everywhere. And then I was told by other people that I was damaging my baby by wearing the mask. So it was just such a weird, weird time. You had...
I had Eva in the May. Yeah,
it was a lot to deal with. But from then they just kept checking on him and they were like, yeah, he's happy and healthy, he's just measuring small. And I suppose like when it's your first, like if that happened this time, I'd be like, but if he's happy and healthy, I don't think I need to keep coming in. Like I think it caused like more anxiety a little bit, like coming in all the time. And like they check my bloods quite a bit and they were like, oh, like you're a bit low in iron and, you know, so like just the usual stuff. Like there wasn't anything out of the ordinary at all, just saying that like he's a little bit small. So I was kind of like, yeah, okay, like just kind of left it at that. Went in, yeah, that was literally weekly scans up until he was born in November, up until like, yeah, Halloween kind of. And then They said that there was like a worry I might go into labor early because of it. They said something, I can't remember what it's called, but they checked, they did what are they called, a pelvic exam or a vaginal exam quite like early in my pregnancy because they said something about my cervix or something was like not inadequate. I can't remember the word they used, but it was like possibly that like I dilate before actually going into labor or whatever.
Okay.
Which also ended up to be like a wild goose chase. It was like not a thing. They also said my placenta was low lying. It ended up shifting out of the way. There was like all these kind of like things and then it would be fine, but like they'd keep me monitored. So it was very back and forth. Like they were all lovely every time I went in. Like I had no issues at all, but it was just like it was just constant. And then like I remember my grandmother just being like, well, it's not helping your blood pressure. Like now looking back now, I wish that I had just been like, I don't think I need this. Like I'm so much more like informed this time around. But I was very much just like, I'll just like go with whatever they think is best and, you know, like to make sure like the baby's okay and everything. So after that, then it like came up to my due date, which was the 13th of November. My partner's birthday is the 14th. His mom's birthday is the 15th. My mom's birthday is the 14th. There's like, I think in total, there's like 6 birthdays on both sides of our family, like together in that like week and a half afterwards, after the 13th. So I was like, it's going to be on someone's birthday. Everyone's birthdays came and went. The baby was not born. And the whole while of them saying, you know, he is your full term, but like he is measuring small. They said at one point, like, oh, he's looking like less than 5 pounds. And like, and now I know that like measurements are really inaccurate once they get past, I think it's 30 weeks or like even sooner. Like it's, he was like, and I had a really neat small bump on my, you know how they measure from your bone up with the measuring tape? I was measuring one behind all the time. So my bump was actually smaller, but he was just curled up. Like I was just kind of neat, I suppose. But he, yeah, was overdue. I think 12 days. Yeah, it was 12 days. So when I was 10 days overdue, I always had my appointments on a Thursday. And I went in on the Thursday and he said, okay, like you're well overdue now. We'll book you for induction on Tuesday. And I was like, oh, like, okay. And like, he could kind of see, like, he gave me a cervical exam, and he was like, oh, baby's really low, but like, I bawled crying at it, because I think I'd just gotten like so many. I was just really like the nurse who checks your pee actually came in, or like the midwife, you know, the girl who always like checks it at the little hatch. She came up and held my hand while he was doing it, because I was just really, I don't know. And I should have just said like, no, I'm actually okay, I don't need them. But I was just like, I just kind of was like, yeah, like, just do it, like, it's fine. And then he was like, look, like, I'm not going to give you a sweep, because he was like, you're like in a bit of a heap. And I was like, yeah, no, like, that's fine. And he was like, look, the baby's really, really low, so I'm sure like it'll happen, but we'll book you in for induction on Tuesday, blah, blah, blah. And it would have been like bang on 14 days overdue then. So I was like, okay, grand. And by the time I was home, I had to run for a bus to get home, which was like a 2 minute, it was like 2 minutes away from the hospital door to, at the bottom of Merrion Square, to get the bus. And it was only, it only runs once an hour. So I was like, I am not missing this bus. I like legged it. This is not like, yeah, 10 days overdue. Legged it from Holly Street down, and I made it. And then I sat on the bus and I was like, oh, I started labor off by like running to the bus, because I like bombed it down the road, and like people were looking at me like I was nuts, like I was running away from someone. But I was just like, I don't want to have to walk to the Lewis, because it was like a 15 minute walk, and then I would have been like a 15 minute walk from my stop when I get off the Lewis. So I was sitting on the bus, and by the time I got back, I was kind of like, oh, like, I think I'm like, because you know how for weeks before I was like, I think I'm going into labor.
Yeah.
Because like, you get, oh, there was so many times I was like, I think this is it. And then like labor actually came, and I was like, okay, these actually do feel a bit different.
Do you think that cry in the hospital was a big release? Do you think that was as well?
I think so, because I did feel like it was quite an outburst. And that happened a few times as well throughout my pregnancy, where, because I was very much like, like, even like the girl I talked to, she was very much like, you don't have to wait until something, like, it all builds up to then come in and let it all out. Like, that wouldn't happen if you just talked about how you were feeling and like named those feelings. Like, she taught me so many skills about like, even like my anxious part of me as like a child's version of myself who like doesn't believe that like I know what I'm doing. And she was like, you are like the wise adult, Erin. That part of you knows exactly what you're doing. You have a plan, and you just need to tell her to like, it's okay. Like, I have this, you don't need to worry. And it's like those kind of visualizations, like I do it every day now. And like, it was really, really helpful. So I think, it was just like a bit of a release. And then I went home, and that was kind of like Thursday night on and off. And you're timing them as well. I was like, they're 15
you're timing them way too early.
They're 17. Oh, they're gone now. They're gone. Oh, no, they started back up. I was excited as well. I remember as well just being like, he's never going to come out. My partner was like, he has to come out eventually. Yeah. Like, he can't stay in there forever. I was like, I know, but like, it's well past his time. Like, overstayed his welcome.
Yeah, but it is hard when I've never gone over any of their mind, but I'm not good when it comes to the last few weeks, because you do get to a stage where you just want, you'd want to see your baby as well.
Yeah, and as well, I think it was because I was told quite early that there was a possibility, that a high possibility that I was going to have him early.
Yeah, okay, so
like,
yeah,
we had everything prepared, and then it just like, oh, like, once he's happy and healthy, that's grand, like, stretch out as far as you can. And then I got to my due date and I was like, okay. And I remember even my mother-in-law just being like, would they not just induce you instead of like bringing me in every week? Because she could see as well, like, I was worn out. And I came home anyway and was timing them, and like, that was all through the Thursday night. And the Friday morning, like, they were still there, but like, they were still very distant, and like, I was just kind of like walking around. I got like a little bit of sleep on the Thursday, like, I was able to fall asleep between them, and then like, I kind of wake up going like, oh, and then, but like, they were nothing. They were like, yeah, they were like, no, the tip of the iceberg. And then I rang my mother-in-law and asked her, would she bring me down to Aldi just to get the shopping in? And this is like a running trend with me. I'm really bad for it, where like I just wanted to do everything myself. So I like left my partner asleep, didn't wake him up, went out to the car with my shopping bags and my shopping list. And I was like, I just want to get the last bits in, you know, before. And then we were on the way down. She was like, are you okay? And I was like, oh yeah, no, I've been having contractions all night. And she was like, what? She was like, why are you coming? And you're coming to Aldi. And I was like, yeah, like I need to get like the bits in. She was like, okay. Like she was just like, Erin's gone delusional at this stage. So she just went with it, wandered around, like kept trying to push my trolley and all. I was like, I'm fine. I was like, it's not a big deal. But I was having to stop like, okay, for them. They were getting then like quite like the tightenings and stuff were getting quite bad. And again, I wouldn't even say, I remember even like saying that like it wasn't so much, it wasn't like share pains or anything. It wasn't what I imagined it would be. Like I said to my partner that it feels like I have like a fist at the front and a fist at the back and they're pulling in together to meet. And once they meet, it's over. Like it was like one, I knew, like I could see, I could feel when it was going to be finished. So like it was just, I found them really, really bearable, kind of, even once I got into like the proper throes of things. Like I was very much just like focusing on that feeling. And I imagined like this, these two fists coming together, and once they met, then it was over. And I was like, okay, grand, like I have a little break.
It's not so amazing that you could visualize that. So like, it's like your meetings, your chats with Fad, they were really visual, the tools that she gave you, it sounds like. So that really helped.
Yeah. And as well, before, like I got so much support in the way, like even leading up to birth, like I had a whole meeting 1 week with, it was like a midwife, but she literally just sat down with me in the room like I normally did my counseling with for an hour, and I could ask her any question under the sun that I wanted to about, you know, pain relief, birth, the way the hospital will work, how it will work with my partner coming in, because they knew I was so anxious.
Yeah.
And I was terrified of being by myself and without my partner being allowed in. And there was like some people, you know, when you heard all these rumors and it was like, they have to be COVID tested. They're not allowed to come in until they have a negative COVID test. And then there was like loads of things that I thought were going to happen. The midwife was like, no, like, that's not a thing at all. But like, I heard it somewhere, someone said something about it. And in my head, I was like, oh my God, like I'm going to have this baby. I'm not going to have like any support there. He's not going to be with me. Which was actually, I was lucky. Like it was the farthest thing from the truth. So once it came down to it, then like she went through everything with me and I asked everything. I'm terrified of needles. And I was like, I don't want, that was like my main reason that like, I was like, I don't want an epidural, because I was just so afraid of this like needle in my back. Which then she talked me through the actual process, and then I realized that like the needle is only the local anesthetic and there's like a whole tube and everything. And I was like horrified. I was like, oh my goodness. I was like, well, now I'm like definitely not getting that. And she was like, okay. She was like, yeah, no, like there's loads of different options, blah blah blah. And I was like, okay, grand. And did the shopping in Aldi, came back. His mom was like, will you now like chill out for the evening? And I was like, yeah, grand. And kind of they got stronger and stronger. And then it got to about like 8 o'clock in the evening. And I felt like a shift kind of. And I was like, I feel like these are like a good bit stronger. And I was kind of like starting to not even get, I think I just let my, I got in on myself a little bit, and I got like a little bit upset. And his mom rang me. She lives very close to us, and I'd be very close to her as well. And she, and as obviously my mom was in Galway, so she was kind of my support up in Dublin. And she was like, right, I'm coming and bringing you in. She was like, you know, we'll go in, like, what, like, you're in labor. And I was like, okay, grand. And like, she was like, you're overdue. Like, they'll keep you in. You'll have the baby tonight. Like, it's grand. And I was like, okay. And I went in and they checked me and they were like, yeah, no, you can go home. Like, there's no need for you to be here. And they like didn't really give me much more of a look in than that. And I was just kind of like, okay. And I just went back out and his mom came back for us and drove us home. But from the exam that she did, it like by the time, because my at that stage my contractions were 4 minutes apart, but they didn't seem to be doing like a whole lot. And I was walking the whole time, like I felt like such it was such an injustice, because I was like, it's not like I'm just lying here, like I'm like doing all these things you're supposed to do. So, and I'd done so much research, like I did so much research in like throughout my whole pregnancy. I did like 2 separate baby classes. I did like the baby doc one as well. I did like a first aid one. I did preparing to breastfeed. I just did so much. I pored over birth vlogs on YouTube. One born every minute. Like everything I could get my hands on, I was like watching and listening to. So I thought I was like, I know everything there is to know. Like, there's no way like this isn't going to go to plan. And she brought us back. But by the time I got back to the house, they were like, then I was like, oh, like these are a lot stronger now. So obviously I think with her checking me as well, mm-hmm. it was nearly like a sweep, you know, like she kind of, I think, moved things along accidentally. So that was then, there was like no more sleep. After that, I got back to our house at like 10:30 at night, and like even his mom was like, I'll drive back now and like drop you back right now, because like, she could see I was like kind of in pain, and she was just like, I think she was just worried about me. And I was like, no, like, because I was like, I'm not going back for them to tell me to pick off again. Like, I was like, no, like I'm good, like they say to stay at home as long as possible, so like I'm gonna do that.
And sorry, Erin, where were you living? Were you still living in the house chair?
I was still in shared accommodation, yeah. So we labored. It was like a room that we had like our double bed, and then you could walk like, there was like, say, 1.5 meter on both sides of it and at the front as well. So I literally just paced around the bed for the whole night and like visualized the fists and just like, kind of the only way I found that it, like, there was just huge relief if I just stood and swayed back and forth with my hips, and like, or I leaned against, say, like the chest of drawers and just like closed my eyes and swayed and just like imagined that. So I was really quiet for really, I was conscious as well about making noise because we were in a house share. I was just like, I'm not, I need to like, you know, I don't want to wake people up. And it got to like 1, 2 a.m., 3 a.m., 4 a.m. And I was like, okay, I was like, I can't wake people up at this time. So I got to like 6 o'clock, and I'd had like 8 showers. Like I was just like, had hot water on my back, that, and then like my partner was like rubbing my like lower back as well when I wanted him to, but I was like, so like, I wanted him to do it, and then I was like, don't touch me. Like, I don't want it anymore. And he was like, yeah, like he was just doing whatever, but like he as well was in the height of it. Like he was like, you know, he just hated seeing me like, I suppose, in pain, or like not he didn't really quite know what to do. And it got to like 6, and I was like, will you just go to sleep? I was like, because the baby's going to be born today. I was like, and you're gonna have to, there's no point in both of us having no sleep. I was like that's just pointless. So I was like, will you just, like, I had been booked in for it's like amniotic fluid levels to be measured, because I was so overdue. So I was booked in for 10 o'clock on that this is the Saturday morning anyway. So I was like, I have to go in for that anyway, so I think I'll just like wait until my appointment time and I'll go in then. And he was like, okay. And like my contractions were 2 minutes apart, and they were lasting like the guts of a minute, like each time. So, but I was just like, I'm not going in without them, with for them to tell me to go home again. I was like, yeah, I'm not doing it. So, and as well, like even like the silliest things, as in like, I knew I had €20 for a taxi in, and I was like, I don't have €20 to get me home again. So I was like, I'm gonna like this, I have to just like go in. And I didn't want to ask his mom either again, because like she'd already gone in and out, and so I was like, I just didn't want to cause hassle to anyone. This is like my go-to. So I let him sleep, and then it got to like 8:30, and I like really couldn't, I was like, okay, like I think I need to go in, because like I really couldn't work through them properly at all. Like they were getting quite like intense, and I just ordered a taxi and got my bags and left and didn't wake him up. I just left him sleeping because I was like, oh, like, there's no point in him coming in with me because I'll have to wait, like, and with, like, the checking in and all that. So I was like, I'll just, like, ring him once, like, I'm in and settled and, like, it's okay for him to come in. So I left him sleeping, didn't wake him up, got in the taxi by myself, didn't tell anyone, and just, like, I think I was a bit in denial. I was like, oh, they're probably gonna send me home. I was like, so, like, I'm not gonna bother, like, annoying anyone with it. And his mom rang me while she texted me and said, how are you getting on this morning? Like, do I have a grandson? She was kind of like, oh, maybe I'll wake up in the morning and, you know, there'll be a baby. And I was like, I'm just in a taxi in now. And she rang me and she was like, you're what? Like, you're in a taxi. And I was like, yeah, I'm just, and she was like, okay. And like, you know, where's Jay? And I was like, oh, I left him at home. I was like, I didn't wake him up. I just left him there. And she was like, are you joking? And I was like, no, like, it was perfectly reasonable in my head. Like, I was just like, no, because what's the point of waking him up? Like, I was like, I'll just leave him sleep because he needs sleep and I'll go in and I'll see what the crack is. So she was like, let me know once you're in there safe and like, give me an update. And I was like, okay, grand. Sure, I didn't pick up my phone again. By the time I got to Hollis Street, I was like, the taxi man, first of all, wouldn't let me pay for the taxi. He was so kind. And he was like, my wife has had 3 children in this hospital. It's like, so, you know, he was really, really lovely. And he would like helped me up the stairs and everything. Cause at that stage I was like really struggling. But I was just like silently crying. Cause I also like didn't want to make like too much of a fuss. So as soon as they saw me, I got in there like 8:45. And as soon as the guy saw me at the front, like the reg, he was just like, okay, we're going to, yeah, just bring you in and we'll get your details. And like the woman was so, like, she rushed through it because she could see, like, I was just very silent. But like I had tears streaming down my face. Oh, so she was kind of like, you know, but I was I think if I let myself like actually cry or anything, like I wasn't going to stop. Like I was just kind of like, I need to like hold this. And she kind of like was like, okay, like we'll just bring you upstairs. And like another woman rushed in with her husband and she was like, I need to be seen right now. This is my second baby. Like this is happening. But she was like laughing and joking. Oh, there's another one coming. And like she was kind of laughing and joking and I was like sitting there and I was like, the woman was like, look, I'm going to bring her up first and then I'll come back down. And like she didn't look too happy. So I was like, no, you can just do her. Like, I'll just wait here for a few minutes. It'll only take a few minutes. And she was like, oh, okay. And like the husband was like, thank you so much or whatever. And I just sat there again, like silently crying while your woman like had her details taken. I don't know why I'm like this. I'm not going to be like this time. But at the time I was just like, oh, like obviously, like if it's her second baby, like second babies will come quicker. So like it is important for her, you know, to like get checked in. So we like got up and she as well was like kind of laughing and joking like in the elevator. And I was just like not making a sound, just like really quiet, really focused. And when we got up, I think it's like the woman who's downstairs, I'm not sure, is she a midwife or what she is, but she was like, okay, you guys can sit there. And she brought me straight into a room, like past everyone. She was just like, you know, there's no messing about with you, like you're in labor. So she brought me in and it was literally with shift change and everything, she was like, we're just waiting for the new, there's like a handover being done. So she was like, you'll get someone fresh as a daisy. She was really, really lovely. And she was like, you're going to be so
selling a little or a lot. Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
It's first of the day now, and like, this, you'll be sorted now. Don't worry, love. And like, she was really, really nice. So I was like, okay, grand. And within like 10 minutes, came in. She was like mid-20s. She was an absolute dream of a woman. Like, came in. She was so, so kind. She like got me all settled, like took my bags and was like, okay. Like, you know, had my notes and I come on my birth preferences and stuff. And she was like, which I'd written down as well. I'd made sure that they were on my file from my meeting when I went through kind of everything that I wanted with the, like in the counseling thing. I was like, I want it just like known, so I don't really have to like do anything to do too much once I'm in labor. So that was there. And she was like, okay, grand. She was like, well, like, I'm going to walk with you. You know, they did check me and they were like, look, you're like, you are in labor, but like they didn't tell me a number either. They were just like, you're early labor, but you are in labor. Like, so they were like, hop up there, do some walking. So I did some walking, sidestepped up and down, you know, the stairs, the like the birthing stool, like the ball. Me, this midwife was with me the whole time talking to me.
Yeah.
Was like just one-on-one. Like, she was so, so kind. The whole time, I just forgot to contact anyone. My phone was left in the room. I didn't tell anyone that, like, I'd been checked in, that, like, I didn't tell my partner. I didn't wake my partner. He was still asleep, oblivious. I mentioned that I was meant to be in for an appointment to check my fluid, and they were like, oh, we'll just ring up and cancel that. Like, you're there's no need. Like, you're in labor. So I was like, okay, grand. And after about, like, an hour of, like, kind of walk and doing all, I think it's, like, the 5 steps you, like, switch throughout, like, all the different things. And a different midwife came in and she was like, okay, like, hop up, I'll check you, blah blah blah. And as she checked me, she was like, I just broke your waters there while I was at it, so that'll move things along. Which, like, there was no like, is it okay if I break your waters? There's like nothing. She just like broke them, which again, at the time though, I was just kind of like, okay, well, like, they're broken, so that's okay. Yeah. And she was like, and we'll just get the doctor, I just rang up there, we'll get to your epidural. And I was like, I don't really. And she kind of just left and I kind of didn't say anything. And I was like, okay. And I like the midwife was kind of like, you know, like, is that like, are you okay? She could see I was a bit. And I was like, yeah, I was just like, I didn't really want an epidural. And like, I felt like I was managing really, really well. And at this stage, I think I was like 3 centimeters, which like isn't very far along, but like, I was like, no, like, I feel like I'm managing it really, really well. And then the anesthetist came up and I was just like, okay, I just got an epidural because I didn't want to make I didn't want to speak for myself. I was just kind of like, oh, okay, like, if like you think that's the bed. And they were like, oh yeah, I'll get like a bit of rest and everything, like, it'll be great. And I was like, okay, grand. Like, they weren't convinced me or anything, but I was just kind of like, they said, and she arrived, and I'm just kind of like, okay. So I like had to curl up on my side, and like, she put it in and it like half worked. So I was like, okay, yeah, like, you know, because once my waters were broken, also, like, they did come on, like, they were all of a sudden, like, a lot stronger. And then I was kind of, like, as she was doing it, I could feel them getting stronger and stronger. And I was like, okay, like, I probably do need this, like, so I'll just get this done. And there was, like, a pocket left. So then I was stuck in the bed. And I couldn't do any of the stuff that, like, I was actually enjoying doing. So I was just kind of then, like, sitting there, but I was, like, minimal to no pain. So I was like, okay. And then all of a sudden my partner, like, rushes in the door of the, like, delivery suite. And he was like, I heard like a bird's nest. He was just like, and I was like, hi. And I was just sitting up in the bed chatting, like, to the girl. And he was like, hi. My mom rang me. She had rang the hospital and was like, hi, like, I've just heard no update. Like, I'm just wondering about, you know, like, Erin, blah, blah, blah. And they were like, she's in delivery. As in, like, I was in a delivery room. She thought I was, like, pushing the baby out.
Okay.
She rang him in a freak, being like, she's having the baby, get up. Like, and she drove him in a big, like, rush. She didn't have a sup of tea or anything, like. And he came in, and I was sitting up in a panic. And I was, like, just sitting up in the bed having the chats. And he was like, what has happened? So then I was like, I'm so sorry. I was like, I just didn't, like, I just said I'd let you sleep. And he was like, this would be the one time, like, it'd be okay to be inconsiderate. He was like, what are you talking about?
Oh my god.
He was like, you're nuts. So after that, then, like, he was in, and then they checked me again, and they said, you haven't really dilated anymore. We're gonna start you on the drip, and that'll get you more dilated. And again, I was just kind of like, okay. Like, I'd done so much research before this where I was like, I don't want interventions leads more interventions. I was like, you know, I can do this, and there's, like, so many other things you can do. But, like, because then I'd had the epidural, I was like, I can't do really any of the things that, like, the walking around, the, like, the birthing do, like, all those things that help move things along. I was like, I can't do any of those things anymore. So I was kind of like, okay, they put that in. And then as soon as they put the drip in to, like, make the contractions come on stronger or faster, whatever it does, the pocket of pain just, like, spread. So it was like, it was no longer just like a bearable pocket of pain and the epidural. It was like I didn't have an epidural, but then I was having really strong contractions all of a sudden from this drip. So I was like, okay. And, like, the midwife could see, that was with me, could, like, see that, like, she was like, okay, no, she was like, there's no point in you having this if it's not working. So she was like, I'll call the anaesthetist up and they'll do another one. So I was like, okay. So then a man came up, a different man, and he was like, oh, they call me, you know, I'm the expert. So he came in, he was like, instead of me lying on my side, he was like, I need you to sit up on the bed and, like, lean forward, do all that. And I was like leaning into my partner. I nearly took his head off. So I had my arms, because at this stage my contractions were so fast and so strong that, like, I wasn't getting 30 seconds, like, in between. I have to keep saying stop. And, like, because they obviously, when you're in a contraction, they don't want to do it. So, like, it was, like, a very limited amount of time. And I got so upset. It was, like, the first time since I'd been in the hospital, I'd felt so in control, even with getting these things done. And then, like, once I had to get, like, a second epidural, I just, like, got so upset. I was, like, bawling, crying. I was just, like, this is just, like, a disaster. And, like, the midwife was so kind, and, like, she was holding my hand, and then, like, my partner was like, it'll be over soon, like, you know, you can do this. And he knew as well, because when he came in, he was, like, so surprised that he even gotten it by myself, because I was so nervous about all those types of things. And he got it in anyway, and he, like, cranked it up. So I could not feel a thing from my boobs down. Like, I was completely numb. Like, my whole body felt fuzzy. And he was like, every 12 minutes, you can press that button and that will stop it. I think because it didn't work the first time, they were like, just keep pressing that button and it will keep working. And I was like, so when the light dinged on, like, press it. Even if you don't feel you need it, just press it. So I was like, okay. So this is what I did. This is at, like, 12 o'clock in the day. And then, like, they were, at that stage then, I was so numb. Like, I was kind of like, oh, yeah, like, I was getting my partner to sneak me, like, gummy, like, sweets. I had, like, jellies and stuff in my bag because they were like, you can't eat anything. And I was, like, starving. So I was like, okay, I was, like, getting it. When they, like, midwives left the room, I'd be like, give me a breakfast bar or something. something. And then like the midwife as well had said to him, like, do you want to go down and get like a coffee and a sandwich or something? Because like he had just jumped out of the bed and come like rushing into the hospital. And then he updated his mom as well and was like, there's no baby, it's all okay. So then they just kept going on. Like, they checked me, I was 6, they checked me, I was 8. They were like, oh yeah, like, you know, you're progressing really, really well. This is like, I was going up 2 every hour, you know, because they did the hourly checks or whatever. And I, at that stage then also, I was like, I can't feel anything. So like I had the catheter in, like all sorts of things in, but I was just kind of like, at that stage, I was so numb. I was just like, I just kind of was like, okay, like, I suppose this is like a super medicated one, and like, you can't go back now. So it's kind of, you know, this is the way it is. But it was really nice. Like, I have like no bad memories of my birth or even my labor. Like, there was things that happened that are unfortunate and that I'm like, I wish that kind of didn't happen, but like, it didn't put like a negative feel on it at all, because like, my midwife was so gorgeous. Like, she was just so lovely and supportive and like so there for me. And like the same with my partner, I was able to, I just felt like, this is really easy. Once the epidural was in, I was like, I'm just sitting here, like, you know, and it's kind of just like going along. So then they said when I was like 9 centimeters that they took me off the drip because his heart rate was dipping. And the like head midwife, she was like an older woman in a different colored scrubs, and she came in and she was really abrupt, and she like didn't speak to me once. She just said to the midwife, I need to do a check because the baby's heart rate is dipping. So she didn't like, she just kind of like did a check on me, didn't say anything. And she was like, they did the oxygen scrape, the scrape mm-hmm. thingy. And they were like, the thing wouldn't stay on his head. They wanted to put like a monitor thing. And they said that it wouldn't stay on his head. So he must have had loads of hair. So I was like, all right, like, but they were like, look, the oxygen levels are fine. We're going to take you off the drip because he's just not recovering very well. They're too strong for him. So I was like, yeah, grand. Did the peanut ball for an hour, just on either side. And like, they were kind of like trying to keep an eye on his heart rate, but like the thing kept falling off. So it wasn't doing much. And then she came in again, the like older midwife, and she just checked me again and said to the midwife, ready to push, and she just left. So the midwife was like, okay, like, she was really abrupt.
Yeah.
Really, like, she was the only person that I came into contact with through my whole kind of like, once I went in for labor, that I was a bit like, that was a bit like, you know, I was like, she could have like said it to me, or like, even when she said about because his heart rate was dipping, there's a possibility of a C-section. Like, she just said that over me midwife. And I was like sitting there being like, could someone explain like the medical side? And then the midwife was like, explained it all. And I was like, okay, grand. Like, she kind of like broke it down for me, but I was just a bit like, I don't know. I was like, the only thing that I was a bit like, all right, like, that was a bit not very nice. But then it was literally just my midwife that I'd been with for the whole day. It was a less experienced one, I think, because like, she was also, when I first came in to get like my cannula in, she was shown how to do it, but she was brilliant. She was like, so like, oh, she was amazing. And it was literally just her and my partner, and then like obviously a more senior midwife or whatever, but she was also like maybe barely 30. And I'd actually had her in a few of my fetal scans before, so I kind of knew her as well. So I was like, oh, this is like working out so well.
Yeah.
And she just kind of, I couldn't feel anything. So I was, you know, she kind of was like, okay, like, how are you feeling? Can you feel any contractions? And I was like, honestly, you're going to have to tell me exactly, like, if you tell me exactly what to do, I will do exactly what you say, because I don't have any feeling. Like, I can't even tell when I'm having a contraction. So one midwife had her hand on my stomach to feel when a contraction was coming and looking at the monitor. And then she would tell me when to push. And it was like very much like on your back, partner holding one leg, midwife holding the other leg, midwife down the end, you know, okay, start pushing, do 3 pushes. And it was just like your typical like scene off of the like the rotunda or something. Like it was very much, but he was out in seven pushes. He just like flew out. Like it was, I remember after like the first set of like three pushes, they were like, oh, he really wants to be born. Like he just like made his way down like super, super easy. And so I was like, oh, okay, grand. And that kind of then gave me like a little bit, when they said that, I was kind of like, okay, like I'm doing it right. And like, it's all, cause yeah. I had no idea. And then, yeah, like the six push, his head was out. And then the seven push, like he was out. And then it was just like, do the like breathing. And then he was just like, he was born. And that was like it. He was 8'8". He was not small in the slightest. Yeah, he was a big, and in the video, my partner, he took a video of like, I'd say a minute after he was born.
Oh wow, cool.
And he's, you know, has all the ick on him and everything. And I'm like, I was really shaky and I just kept saying, he's so big. I said, he's so big, because I was expecting this like little
teenage
of a baby, and he was just like, looked massive to me, and he was quite quiet. And I just said, I kept saying as well, like, is he okay? And like he let out a bit of a cry and then just like stopped, but like he was just like happy, like he wasn't, there was nothing wrong, but I was just kind of like, oh, like he's not like roaring, like is everything. They were like, yeah, Aaron, like he's perfect, and like, you know, like they kept reassuring me. So I was like, okay, grand. And they just kind of like did the rub down, blah blah blah. And I only did skin to skin for about, I'd say it was for about like half an hour, and then they were like, oh, like the cord is fully drained. We're just, is it okay if we just like take him over and check, you know, give him a once over, he'll be with dad and you can get stitched up. And I was like, straight away, I was like, oh no. I was like, did I? So they took him, and I was, you know, I have lovely pictures as well that my partner was on point with like the pictures.
Yeah, can't wait to see them. Like,
yeah, and he's like, it's so funny as well, because like he's just roaring, like by the, when he was taken away and like with the lights, and it's not surprising, yeah, even within like the bright lights and everything, and he is just roaring in them, like you can see his whole, I can still hear that like throaty like wobble cry. She was like, okay, she was like, you have a small, she said, you have a very, very small tear, it's not even a tear, you just have little lacerations up at the top. She was like, so don't, like, it's not a big deal at all, you know, just a few stitches. So I was like, okay, like it, at this stage, the epidural was kind of wearing off and it was a bit steamy. So I was like, okay, like that's not bad at all. That's okay. And she was like, you know, the placenta, they gave me the injection. The placenta came quite easily. That was fine. And then about 10 minutes later, I started violently being sick. So I think it was, they said like it can happen with the injection to help the placenta along, that it can have that effect on some women. So I was just vomiting. So I couldn't hold like George. He didn't have a name at that stage, with baby gone on him. But even like my partner came back over with him and was like, oh, like, do you want? And I was actually like, and we were only laughing about it the last day. I was like, get him away from me, because I was like, I'm going to drop him because I need to vomit, or I'm going to vomit on my newborn or something. I was like, I felt so unwell. I was like, I don't want to hold him. Will you just like hold him and keep him safe over there? And like, I just felt, and I had nothing in my stomach other than like a few gummy bears. So it was really dreadful. And then they gave me another injection, an anti-nausea injection, to try and stop me vomiting from the injection they had given me for the placenta. So I was like, okay. So they did that, stitched me up. Like it didn't take too long. To be honest, that was the most unpleasant part, just because I could feel the tugging and stuff like that. It wasn't pain, but it was just, I knew what was going on, and I was just really, with feeling sick as well, I was just like,
yeah, so yeah, awful.
It was just, that's the only negative part of it. In my head I'm like, oh god, like I wouldn't want to do that part again. And then like I held him again for a little bit, he latched on straight away, and like the midwife and another midwife, the changeover midwife, because this, he was born at 7:08, and so I had the midwife for the whole of her shift, and then it got to like 8:00 after they'd finished stitching me and checked, you know, the baby and everything, and she was like, okay, I'm gonna head off now, like you know, it's been like an absolute pleasure. I'm delighted for you, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, cool.
And I was like, oh, it was just so, it worked so nicely. Like I was so happy with the way it went. And then like the changeover midwife came in and she was lovely as well, but she was just like, she was like, okay, we're going to like swap you over into this, because it was changeover. It was very much like, okay, like you're going to go down to the ward now. Like, you know, you're fine. You're stitched up. The baby's all right with dad. Grand. So she was like, okay, hand mom the baby. And I would, you know, because they want you on the trolley with the baby. And she was like, dad can bring all the stuff. But at this stage, like, I was like, I can't hold him. Like, I feel so sick. And she was like, you have to hold him. And I was like, okay. So I was just kind of like, okay, like being wheeled down, like she moved me over to the like other bed and like they wheeled me down or whatever. And like my partner was behind me, and the whole time I was just like, I'm going to be sick. But I was just like not saying anything and just like holding him, just being really like, okay, if I just focus and then once we're down there, I can hand my partner the baby and then I can be sick. I was like, I just can't right now. So we got down there and I was in such a daze. Like the midwife was trying to talk to me once I got down in the ward, and she was like, do you have nappies and Vaseline? And I was like, I was just staring at her like blank. I was like, what is she asking me? And like my partner was like, yeah. And was like rummaging in the bag, like getting everything. I think it was just, I don't know if just the epidural have that effect, but like I had a bit of gas in there as well. Not much, because I didn't like the, you know, it made me a bit nauseous at the start anyway. So I didn't really use it, but I was just disorientated, really. I was just really like, God, like, I don't know what you're asking me. So she kind of like changed the nappy and like bundled them up and like just like handed them to my partner and was just like, okay, like, yeah, that's grand. We'll bring you your tea and toast, because I was sick in the room. I couldn't have my tea and toast. So I was like, okay. It never came. And I was like, okay, grand. And then like I was still being sick. And then they said that my partner had to leave. So at this stage, it was like 10 o'clock. And they were like, you need to leave now. And like I was still like being sick. I like hadn't like been able to get out of the bed. I hadn't eaten anything. Like I didn't have anything ready. Like I was still really, really confused. Like I was just like, oh God. So then he left and I was just like, okay, like I guess. And he was like, look, like text me. And like I just bawled when he left, because I was like, I don't know what I'm doing. And they were like, just wrap him up and put him in the bassinet. As if like it was so easy. But I was like, I haven't walked yet. I couldn't, you know, move. My legs were so heavy.
You hadn't eaten. You had nothing in your body. Yeah.
Yeah. And I had no sleep either since the Thursday. And this is Saturday night.
Yeah.
So I was just like, I was so drained. But like I was looking at him. I remember like just chatting to him and taking pictures. But like, again, I didn't text anyone. I was very much like, I don't have the head for it, other than my partner, who I was texting being like, oh, I need you here. And he was kind of like, it's gonna be okay, like I'll be over early. And it got to like 2 o'clock, and as well, like he'd only latched on once in the room, and then it was like my plan was to breastfeed, but I kind of, even with, it's like I forgot everything in the preparing to breastfeed class. I just was so overwhelmed by everything. I was like, oh my goodness, like, okay. So I wasn't sure if I was latching him on right. And like I remember I was so tired that at one stage I like looked down and I like unlatched him, and I had a big huge mark, looked like a hickey, because on the flat part of my boob, because he had been latched on literally to like that's how tired I was. And I was wondering why I was so sore. And then I was like, he's not even on my nipple. And then it got to 2 a.m. and I rang the bell and the midwife came in and was like, what's wrong? Because like it made such a loud like ding. And I was like, oh God. Like, and she came in and I just burst into tears. And I was like, please help me. I was like, I don't know what I'm doing. I haven't eaten anything. Like I just kind of like blurted. I was like, I haven't peed. I was like, I'm just like, I can't leave. I haven't walked yet. Like I need to change him. It was what set it off was that I couldn't get him latched on to my left side, which is always, it's his least favorite side. And then he had like a big, like one of his, you know, first snappies, and it got like all over his clothes, all over the bed, all over his blanket, all over me. And I was just trying to clean him off while he was roaring and waking up all the other babies. You know, I could bear, I was really wobbly and weak. I knew I had to pee, but I had like, I was like, I can't leave. I was sore. The pain meds were kind of starting to wear off, and I was just like, it was just a lot. So when she came in and she just went, can you walk to the bathroom? And I was like, yeah. And she was like, okay, like go down there, and you have to like measure it or whatever after you have an epidural. You have to like check that like everything's in working order. And she was like, go down there, I will take care of your baby. And I was like, okay. And by the time I went down, used the bathroom, and then came back, she had him like in a fresh nappy, fresh clothes, swaddled up and asleep in the bassinet. And she was like, she literally led me to the bed, and she was like, okay. She was like, I will come in 2 hours from now, and I will set an alarm. And she came into me then every 2 hours to help me latch him on and to like check it was going okay. She was so good, and I was so afraid to ring the bell. And once I did, and I think she saw me, and I was the only woman breastfeeding on the ward, and it was a full ward. I think there was like 6 or 8 of us, and I was the only one. Everyone else was bottle feeding. So I even knew it was time. If he, now he was attached to me nonstop, so I didn't need a reminder, but you know, you heard them come in with the bottles, and that's how I knew that it was like about time that like he needed a feed. So I literally just fed on and off, and she just tucked me into bed, and she brought me tea and toast that I had cold, but I was just like, I don't care. Like I just, because by the time I'd say, I think he woke up just as that came in. And this is again like 4 in the morning. She went and got this for me. So I was like, I was very thankful.
That's a perfect example though of like why the bell is there.
Yeah, I know.
Because we're so nervous that we don't need it enough. We're not, you know, that someone else needs it more, but that the bell is there because we need help. And it's a perfect example of the result of ringing the bell. So yeah, amazing.
Yeah, I know. It was like a super positive experience. I was like, okay, like I'm not. And then you see as well, because she knew, I think as well, because I was the only one breastfeeding, she was able to kind of, like she was all for it. And she was like, this is brilliant, and like, oh, it's really good because like you're young. And she was like, you'll be well able. She was really, really good about it. And she was able to, like, she got a pillow from, like, there was one empty bed, and she brought me like a spare pillow so that like I could prop, you know, because I was arched over trying to get him. I could get him latched, but like I was not comfortable. Like I was just sitting in whatever way I could latch him on, but like I was dying to death. So she like got me extra pillows and like propped me up properly, and she like just was really, really good about it. And then she was finished at 8, and she came into me before she left, and she was like, I'm back at 8 o'clock tonight, so I'll see you tonight. And I was like, okay. And she did the same thing for my second night. Oh, she was brilliant. But once it hit 12 o'clock and they come around and they like do checks and stuff, I actually was like, can I go home? Like I was just I was like, I don't want to be here. I feel so alone. I just felt like it would be so much more manageable if I had my partner there to help, because I didn't sleep for that whole first night either. And then it got to the daytime, and he was quite mucousy. That's what it was. He was quite mucousy because he was born so quickly. So I had this like fear that he was choking. I just like every time he like coughed, he sounded quite spluttery. I was like jumping up out of the bed and, you know, like fixing him. And then like the midwife had put him like at an angle so that, you know, he was kind of, it wasn't catching in his throat as much. But I was like, I was stressed out of my head about that. And once they came around, they were like, no, like we're going to keep you another night. Like, I think you need another night. And we'll just keep an eye on him, especially because you're breastfeeding. And I was like, okay. I was like, okay, grand. And then like my partner came in, he stayed for about like 2.5-3 hours, and then he had to leave again. So I was like, okay. And my plan in my head, I was like, okay, once he comes in, I will like try and get like a shower, or I'll sleep to try and get sure. Once he was in, I was like excited to tell him, like,
yeah.
about like what he was, what he, you know, how he was. And as well, that morning I had like he was crying, and I like picked him up and I had changed him. I changed him and I fed him and I was holding him, and I had this sudden like, oh, like that went so smoothly. Like I was just like, okay, like that, I feel like I have a grip on it, kind of. I felt like I could kind of do it then, but like I was just exhausted. And he brought me in like some snacks and crackers and like a bar of chocolate and stuff like that. And I was never so glad that there was no other visitors allowed in the hospital. I was like, how do women have like extended family come in and see them after having a baby? Like I was actually like, I would not be in any fit state to see anyone, never mind talk to anyone. Like I was like a ghost. Like, so I was really, there was lots of like, I took a lot of positives from COVID because my anxiety was so bad. I was like, this is great. Like I don't have to see anyone, which is so bad. But I was like, no, like I loved it. I really, really liked that. I didn't have that like pressure to kind of like see people. Mm. And he left. And then for that second night, he like, George was just on me for the whole entire night. Just latching on and off, on and off. And I, every time I felt like I was nodding off, I'd eat a square of chocolate to keep myself awake because he was in my arms and I couldn't, every time I tried to put him down, he'd wake up. Now I know that if I let him cry for 5 or 10 seconds when I did put him down, he would have gone off. But I was just like, as soon as he made a noise, I was so conscious of the other babies that I didn't want to wake up everyone else's, because like it seemed like my child was the only one that was crying in the whole ward, which obviously wasn't true, but that's how it felt like. I was just like, I'm waking up everyone's babies. So it got to like, and I remember it was like 4 a.m. and I was like, okay, I was like, only like 3 more hours and they'll bring in breakfast and the lights go on. So then it'll be like so much easier to be awake and I won't have to like worry too much about other people. So this is like no sleep since Thursday, and it's like Sunday morning now. No, it's not. It's Monday morning. So Monday morning, then they come around and like they checked everything. And I was literally like, I want to go home today. I was like, I need to go home. And they were like, yeah, they were like, sure, we'll do all your paperwork. Like everything looks good. We just need to like, the pediatrician needs to do a check on the baby. And like once I, so they did all that, and the pediatrician came around and was like, first of all, the midwife on the ward was like, he's a tiny bit jaundiced, but well below the line. So she was like, that's super okay. Like, and you're breastfeeding as well. So like there's different levels, kind of like if you're breastfeeding to formula feeding. So she was like, wouldn't be worried about that at all. You're doing really, really well. And then the pediatrician came around and did the check and said, he's jaundiced. You need to top him up straight away. She was like, you need top of bottles, you need to be topping him up because he's jaundiced. But the midwife who talked to me earlier was on the ward, like literally across from my bed, and she heard and she went, no, she's fine. She said he's very slightly jaundiced, and she said she's exclusively breastfeeding and, you know, she's doing really, really well with it, so I don't think that she needs those. And the pediatrician was like, okay, well, like, I'll give you the bottles to bring home so that they're there for, she didn't even say if you need it, she said when you need them. So I was like, okay. And she said otherwise he was perfect, you know, he was grand, he was doing really well. And the midwife then, once the pediatrician left, she said to me, you don't need them. I wouldn't bring them home. And I was like, okay. So I didn't, and I didn't need them, and it was fine. And so she was very much just like, no, like, you're doing really well. I understand the pediatrician side of it as well. Like, I don't think she was trying to make me feel like I couldn't do it or something. I think, like, obviously it's her prerogative to make sure that the baby's okay. So like, I get that as well. But it was just, I think the midwife on the ward was just like, no, like, you're doing fine. Like, your latch is good. It's grand. It wasn't very good, but like, he was getting what he needed. So it was okay. And yeah, I was able to go home then, thank God. My partner came in, his mom picked me up, and I like practically ran out of the hospital. I was just like, it was at the after having him, I found that stay awful. Like, the midwives were lovely, like, but I just found I was so uncomfortable. I hadn't showered because I said, who's going to mind my baby? Like, I couldn't shower. And then I realized that everyone else was showering. They just left their babies there and went to have a shower. But I was like, I can't leave him alone. What if he cries? Or what if, like, he coughs up mucus and he's, like, not upright? Like, I just straight away, I had this in my head being like, something could happen and I need to make sure that, like, he's still breathing. And that's what I was doing as well when I was, like, eating the squares of chocolate to keep myself awake. I was, like, I was lying there, even with my eyes, even if I tried to close my eyes, literally, I could feel, I can still hear, I was tuned in and I was just listening to his breathing. And if it in any way differed from what it, you know, the normal rises and falls, I was like up looking at him, like watching his chest really, really carefully. And before I was like discharged, the a member of the mental health team came around to have a chat with me. Just as a, because I was in contact with them the whole time for my pregnancy, they kind of just wanted to check in before I went home. And I was off that day. So I didn't get to see her. And it was just one of the other girls. And I lied through my teeth to her. Like, I think maybe if it had been Eva, I would have been more honest. But like, I barefaced lied and was like, oh, first night was a bit hard, but like, I feel like I'm doing really, really well. Like, no, I'm like perfectly fine. Yeah, really looking forward to going home. And like, yeah, he's gorgeous. And I was like, so like, everything is like fantastic. But like, in reality, I was like, I hadn't slept. I was in a heap. She probably picked that up from me anyway. Mm. But I was just like, I'm not staying here another night. I was like, I need to go home. So once we were home, then I didn't sleep again. Like, we were home by about 2 o'clock in the day, and it was about 7 o'clock that evening. My partner was like, would you go to sleep? He was like, you need to lie down. He was like, you have the processing power of a toaster right now, because he was saying something to me and I was just staring at him and then being like, what? You know, like, I couldn't register anything. And like, George was feeding a lot on and off as well, because this is like going into day three. So as well, like, my milk came in and like full swing. And from the very start, because I was leaking so much, when I had him latched on one side, I latched the haka on the other side, my biggest downfall, because I was leaking. And then when the public health nurse came around, I got early discharge, they said, and a midwife or the public health nurse came like every day for like 5 days. And she was like, oh, I'm like, okay, well, your milk has definitely come in. And then I started finding it really hard to latch him because like I was so full all the time. And she was like, I was like, yeah, like, I leak so much. She was like, oh god, like, how much are you leaking? I'm like, I'm leaking, like, when I'm feeding them on one side, I'm leaking about 5 ounces on one side. And she was like, what? And I was like, yeah, I had a freezer full in the first like 2 days. I had bags and bags every single feed. I had like a full, you know, of the pouches.
Yeah.
And I was feeding them all flat. I had so many. And she was like, that's not normal. But I didn't know that. I was just like, oh, I've like, yeah, this is great. I'm like, loads for this freezer stash that everyone talks about. So I was like, grand. And then she was like, no. She was like, what? Stop using the haka. She was like, it's like you're feeding twins.
Yeah, yeah.
Because of the suction. So I was like, and the haka was like told to me by so many people being like, oh, it's fantastic to collect, you know, no wasting the leaking milk or anything. It's like really good to build up your freezer stash. And it actually gave me an oversupply. So George was choking, kind of, you know, he was like, he was getting like I had a really fast letdown, and like my letdown was painful. It was so tingly, and like pins and needles. And I used to like just kind of like grimace for like 30 seconds, and then once the letdown was over, it was fine. There was no pain, but it was just a really like prickly kind of sensation. And the public health nurse was like, yeah, no, like it doesn't need to be, it shouldn't be that strong. Like, you just need to kind of like let your milk supply ease back a bit. So it did ease off, but like, I still, up until he was like nearly a year, I leaked massively. Like, I had a really good supply for the whole time. And then I started pumping when he was about 6 months. I started pumping. So that kind of helped it along as well. Because once I went back to work, like I wasn't against formula, but I felt like I had such a freezer stash built up that I was just like, there's never going to be a need for me to use formula.
Yeah, and of course,
But the time did come, of course, when I was working, I wasn't pumping as much because I had gone back to work. Only part-time, mind you, but he was only barely 6 months. So when I went back, I was pumping on my break, but it wasn't. And again, I didn't take my extra pumping break because I didn't want to cause a hassle. Yeah. I didn't want to feel like I was kind of milking it a little bit, pun not intended, but I didn't want to feel like people were extra breaks and all that. So the time did come, of course, when I had nothing in the freezer and there needed to be bottles the next day. And I remember bawling my eyes out, going over to the shop and buying ready formula, the Aptamil. And it was so funny because when I listened, well, it's not funny, but when I related so much listening to your
post-partum
one, because I was like, oh my God, I remember that. And I felt I still have the voice message that I sent my older sister, and my voice is so wobbly in it. And I was like, I know, it shouldn't be this big a deal, but I was like, I just feel so annoyed at myself that I feel like I was lazy, that I didn't put the effort in. I got lazy with pumping and I didn't make sure that I had enough there. And I just felt so guilty. I was just so mad at myself and upset with myself that I had to do this. It was perfectly fine. He drank it. It was fine. And there wasn't a big deal. Every now and again, I did have to use, just because of me going back to work, if a bottle needed, an extra bottle needed to be there. Because at that stage, my freezer stash was kind of gone and I hated pumping. So I was just kind of I didn't want to do it anymore. It was really tedious. And then once I eased off with the pumping, I was getting an ounce when I pumped. Yeah. For ages, and I was sore. I was swapping back and forth. I was power pumping to try and this whole every five minutes, every 20 minutes or 10 minutes or whatever. I was reading so much online, trying to get it up again. And then I was just I'm just going to stop pumping. And I did. And I just stopped and I just kept feeding him instead, myself. And we only stopped a month ago. And he's 22 months. So, and he decided to, and it was awful.
Yeah.
I was really upset. Not even upset. I was just so he just didn't look for it one evening. And we had weaned down to just one before bed. And he just didn't look for it one evening. And he just went to bed without it. And then I was he's just probably, but this is as well because I'm pregnant, I'd say it's nothing left. At this stage, he was like, why am I bothering? He probably wasn't getting anything from it anyway because it was purely comfort. But
sorry, I know I've cut our conversation off in a really strange part of our chat, but we went off on a tangent speaking about what we're going to talk about over the next couple of months with Erin's current pregnancy. So if you're enjoying the podcast, I would love if you could take a moment to either leave a review. I know you can't on Spotify, but you can on iTunes. Leave a review, rating, send me an email to let me know how the podcast has helped you, or send me a DM because it's always nice to get that feedback. So have a great week and I will chat to you. I'll actually share a nice video that Erin sent me of when she discovered she was pregnant with her second baby. I'll do that maybe tomorrow, Wednesday. So anyway, sorry, I'll chat to you all next week. Bye-bye.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.